Everyone, we are very excited to have some great news here. Colette's Adventure Awaits giveaway is sending one lucky winner on a trip for two on our Kingdom of Southeast Asia tour. So, imagine delving into the ancient and mysterious landscapes of Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand. From cruising the serene waters of Halong Bay to exploring the majestic Angkor Wat Temple and savoring local cuisine, this is an adventure you don't want to miss. So enter now for your chance to experience the rich culture and history of Southeast Asia. The link to enter is in the show notes. Terms and conditions apply, so check out our website for a full list of terms, conditions, and rules. Your adventure awaits with Colette.
Hi.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Travel Unpacked by Colette, the podcast for all things travel, from destination deep dives to stories from fellow travelers and behind-the-scenes insights from the Colette team. Travel Unpacked is your hottest ticket to the world, and I'm so excited because today we're diving deep into the Mediterranean. Today's episode is all about our Mediterranean Coastal Journeys tour through the eyes of one of our past Colette colleagues who just took the tour herself, Elizabeth. I am so excited, Kelsey. I love Elizabeth. I love this tour, and I love talking about the Mediterranean.
Me too. Yes. I had a fantastic conversation with Elizabeth as part of a whole virtual event that I did at Colette, something else that I do here. But she is one of my favorite people in the entire world. So having this conversation with her was just extra special. I will put a link in the notes for anyone interested in listening to that. But Elizabeth was just such a joy to talk to. And this tour is a joy to talk about. So I can't wait to share some of it with you. But before we do, how are you doing, Josh? I've heard you've been gallivanting around the world this last week.
I know, it's been crazy. I have not been in the office like to sit still for more than a couple of days. I was in Costa Rica, then I came back, and then I left and I went to Ireland, Northern Ireland, Italy. I'm back now, but I leave again on Sunday for Greece. So I have been everywhere. The passport has been getting stamped, and I'm just picking up all kinds of wonderful insight and information to share on future podcasts.
So out of all of those places that you've just been to in the last couple of months, which one was your favorite?
That's so hard. I mean, I have been to Ireland and Italy before, but I had never been to Northern Ireland. And going to Belfast was fantastic. What I loved about it is there was just so many art murals on the wall. It just felt like such a peaceful, great little city, walkable. And we went to the Titanic Museum. So that was fantastic. And then you fall in love with Tuscany. I mean, you can never get enough of Tuscany. We stayed in a villa and just waking up, if you would have seen the view from my bedroom, was phenomenal. It was just the Tuscan hills, the countryside for miles and miles, and it was the best feeling. So those are two of my favorite portions of that trip. And then of course, Costa Rica. You just can't get enough of Costa Rica and the lush tropical rainforest, and it was just so much fun to be there.
I love how whenever you ask any travel enthusiast what their one favorite thing is, it always ends up being at least three favorite things. Belfast sounds cool, though. I know there's definitely a bit of a culture shift when you go just from Ireland up to Northern Ireland. And you had mentioned it, right, with the nail on the head of how artsy it is.
A lot of art. There's so many art murals. That was one of my favorite parts, was just seeing all the different art and the interpretations of things that happened in Northern Ireland through the artists on the walls.
I love that. And what was the best thing you ate?
Well, definitely in Ireland, I had Guinness stew. It was brown bread, Guinness stew. It was so like rich, creamy. The meat was so tender. And I cannot wait because I'm going back again in August. So I'm definitely going to bring my mom there and we're going to have that.
It's always about the food for me. Y'all know.
It's always about the food. But I heard that you just came back from, was it Montana, the gift you had given your husband for Christmas?
Yeah. So y'all, I'm making my own dreams come true. I have been talking about Montana on this podcast for what, the last year now? I think I mentioned it on the very first podcast episode. But for December, I said to my husband, well, for Christmas, I said, you can have the choice between Montana, Canada, or Italy. Which one do you want? And he chose Montana. And he was my little travel princess where He had no idea what we were doing. Every day was a complete surprise to him. He had no education on what was going to happen. So what we did was we listened to a podcast episode about the next place that we were going. And then we got there and he already felt so ingrained with the subject. It was great. We did Yellowstone. We stayed in teepees in Yellowstone National Park, where I saw buffalo. You guys, I said that 2024 is the year of the bison and I saw dozens. So
check it off your list.
And then we did Helena, we did Butte, and then we did Glacier National Park. So we saw some really awesome things. Lots of animals.
What was your favorite place to visit?
It's not a place, but it's the sky. You know, they call Montana big sky country. And
they
it's
do.
True. It's really bigger out there. And I can't explain it. It sounds so funny. The sky is bigger and bluer out there than anywhere else I've been in the world.
It's definitely on my list. That's one area. I've done about 40 some states, but that portion of the United States I still need to get to. So my goal is to just go out there for 2 weeks, rent a car, and just drive around.
Yeah, we did. So like I said, Yellowstone up to Glacier National Park. And that was about 1,000 miles of driving. And we did it in 6 days.
Wow. That's fantastic. I love that. And unfortunately, Nicole is not with us today, but there's a good reason for that. Kelsey, you want to let our listeners know where she is?
Well, Nicole is making her dreams come true too, because she has also talked about this place nonstop for the last year. I think she said she's talked about it for the last 30 years and has never gotten to get there. But Nicole is in the jungles of Costa Rica.
She is in the rainforests of Costa Rica enjoying zip lining, just everything. It's been so fun to follow along to see the kids are having the best time and they're just having all the rice and beans and coffee. So I'm so excited for her. I can't wait till she comes back and really tells us all about this adventure. I know that she had wanted to go for her honeymoon, but they told her, oh, it's going to be the wet season in July, so you probably don't want to go. So she didn't, but now here she is in July for her anniversary, enjoying the wet season in Costa Rica.
You know, I don't think going in the wet season is always a bad thing. The animals come out more when it's wet.
I don't think it's a bad thing either. Yeah, because I just went at the beginning of the wet season and it was great. It was wonderful. And I'd love Costa Rica. So for our listeners, if you haven't been, definitely go. But I think we have a message from her, if I'm not mistaken. I think she sent in a little message to us. So if we want to play that.
Kelsey, your sound was accurate.
Oh, Nicole. There she is, listening to those howler monkeys.
You got to admit, I was spot on.
You were spot on, definitely. I think you have a new talent for your resume, that you are a howler monkey. I mean, can you reenact that sound again? I mean, you were so correct.
You know, we had such a vibe during that last episode. I don't know if I can replicate that.
You did have a vibe. Those sounds are correct, and she looks like she's having a good time.
And good time with howler monkeys. They are frightening. Like to
they
hear
are.
That sound.
They are, definitely.
Nicole, we miss you, but we're so glad that you finally got to Costa Rica. What are you going to obsess over next?
Well, now that we've talked about Italy, we've talked about Ireland, Montana, Costa Rica, let's dive into the Mediterranean. And I am so excited for this tour. I've actually been on portions of this tour. We went out there and kind of filmed some things this past October. So I did have the opportunity to visit Barcelona, Costa Brava, so those little areas. So I love it. Kelsey, are you reading up on this? Do you know about the Mediterranean coastal journey?
So the conversation that I had with Elizabeth was for the Mediterranean coastal journey. And then I interviewed her and I got to live vicariously through her, because on this tour, the only place that I have been is Barcelona. In the Mediterranean in general, the only place I have been is Sicily. So I get the feelings, but I have not been to any of these places myself.
It's so great. And it's one of our newest small group explorations tours. So again, Mediterranean Coastal Journeys. If you haven't had the opportunity to look into that, we'll put that link in the notes for you. But I believe it's a 16-day tour. So it really does encompass the Mediterranean. And you are there enjoying everything from Spain to France to Italy. You're really getting a taste of the Mediterranean and all those different regions. And they're all different, right? They're all just such vibrant places to be, to stay, to enjoy. And I'm really excited to hear your conversation with Elizabeth, because I know that, you know, when I had gone, she was really excited to kind of pick my brain a little bit about some of the areas. So I'm excited to hear what she thought of them and what she really dived in and connected with.
Yes, she had the best time, and I was so happy she took time to sit down and chat with me about her experience. She's a very seasoned traveler. She knows her way around a guided tour, so I was really keen to hear what she thought of this one. So without further ado, here is my conversation, or clip rather, with Elizabeth Simmons from Colette. How was your trip, Elizabeth? What was your favorite part?
The trip was fantastic. And I first thought we were covering so much area that I thought it was a lot, but it didn't seem like that at all. It didn't. And the thing that I loved about it is you got excited about one area and then you think, this is fantastic. This is the best. This is great. And then you move to another area, you follow the Mediterranean coastline across, and then you come to a new area and you think, oh my gosh, this is even better. I didn't think it could get any better, and it's better. And then you'd move into it. We'd go from Spain into France, and it would absolutely get better, but it would also change and be different. So what was interesting to me about it is the common part about it was that it was all Mediterranean. So it was a Mediterranean lifestyle. It was the food was very Mediterranean, the fish, the fresh produce, it was very clean, fresh eating. But then when you got into each country, so there was the common things about it, but also you saw how things changed. So the culture changed, the language changed. But every day it seemed like it was better than the next day because it was something completely different.
Oh, I love that. She hit the nail on the head. Like it's the same in terms of the Mediterranean, but different in culture, different in language. And that is what this tour is. You're really getting a full encompassing look of the Mediterranean, as I mentioned, from France to Italy.
And she really was the perfect guest for that virtual event, because my point was that the definition of a Mediterranean country is a country that just sits along the Mediterranean Sea. But it's so much more than that. It's about the culture. It's about the food. It's about the history. It's about the sights. It's about the way of life, because people like to take it a little bit slower and enjoy the beautiful things of life. And the way that she was able to really appreciate that and see the difference from each place that they went was spot on. And I think it's also just really important to hear how every day just seemed to get better. Like she, again, an avid traveler, couldn't just pick one favorite thing. It was like every day was her new favorite thing. I love that.
And I like how she also stressed that it's daunting when you think 16 days. You know, 16 days does seem like a lot. And are you going to get tired of the same stuff? But no, everything is changing. There's so much. She was so excited from day one till the end. And
she's excited always, though. Have you talked to Elizabeth? Just like she gets so enthusiastic about the smallest of things. But I love that one.
I do too. She's enthusiastic. She's just, yeah, there's just this passion in her for everything. She finds the passion in anything that she does. And that's what I love about her.
Me too.
So Elizabeth already dove into one of my favorite things to talk about. And one thing she talked about was the fresh fish, the fresh produce. And I noticed that too, just in the portion that I was in when we went and filmed, it is absolutely fresh, wonderful, and it's so good. And really, that's one of the things we love to talk about here. I know every episode, I feel like we talk about it because we're always doing our episodes around lunchtime too, and we get really, really hungry. So we talk about food. And when you think of the Mediterranean, it really is a foodie's heaven, which is why I'm so excited to head down to Greece too. The Mediterranean food is world renowned and for good reason too.
It is, right? And it's because of their diet, it's a blue zone, which means there's more centenarians that live in that area than anywhere else in the world, or there's a high number of countries that have a lot of centenarians. And it goes back to their diet. So it's those olive oils, it's the wine, it's the fish, it's all those healthy fats. We love it. And Elizabeth talked about the food a lot as well. She actually may or may not have eaten her weight in pastries, which is something I would 100% do myself. Let's hear what she has to say about this.
What aspect of the Mediterranean culture did you find most unique and different from each country?
You know, I think you find it in the food, but in all of those countries, food is so much a part of the culture, and food is so much part of the way of life because everything revolves around the food. And for instance, in Spain, it was the paella and the tapas. And it was an event to eat. Mm-hmm. It was something that it's something that they're known for. So that's why it becomes a part of their culture, because they're so proud of their tapas. They're proud of the paella. They're proud of how they make it, the recipes. And so it was, you felt like you were getting into the culture by eating their food, if that makes sense. And then you go into France and you're eating the crepes and you're eating the pastries and there's so many things added, and you can't be in France without eating croissants every morning, multiple. My favorite were the pistachio croissants that were unbelievable. By 9 o'clock, I'd eaten 5 pastries. And then, of course, you go into Italy and you've got pizza and you've got pasta and you've got all up there too. One of the highlights to me was when we were in Genoa, they're known for the focaccia bread. And I'd never thought that much about that in Italy, but they take a lot of pride in it. And we do go to a restaurant where they make it right in front of you. They come out, they have this big, it looks like a pizza, and they make the focaccia bread right in front of you. And then we eat it as an appetizer before we have our meal. Fantastic. Unbelievable. It was a Michelin restaurant.
I love Mediterranean food because everything is so fresh and you feel so healthy while you're eating it. Maybe not.
Yes, there's a lot of healthy food if you didn't chase it with the not healthy food that's available as well.
And you know what I find interesting about the Mediterranean as well is the way they incorporate their drinks into each meal. So like you have your aperitivo in Italy. So like, you know, it's opening up your taste buds. And then after you have a digestive or you have an espresso. So it's incorporated.
Absolutely. It's all part of the experience with your meal. Eating meals, it's a way of life. And that's why when you go at a restaurant, it's a 3-hour event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like that for the locals too. You know, they take siestas, they take their lunch, they go home and they spend their meals with their family. So mm-hmm. It's a part of the culture. It's a lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Just to piggyback off of what Josh said before the clip, we have asked a number of times not to do these recordings before lunch because I'm officially starving now.
I am too. My stomach is rumbling when she was talking about the pastries and the croissants. I mean, it's true. You could have so many croissants every single morning and not get sick of them because they're so buttery and flaky, and I love it. But you both hit the nail on the head there with it is part of their culture, food, mealtime. That's one thing that I think we don't realize when we go over there. Mealtime is just so important to them. It's the friendships that you have. You sit, you enjoy. They don't rush you. They don't just bring you the check. You kind of always have to ask for the check because they want you to enjoy. They want you to have fun, to talk, to enjoy the meal, not just to eat and leave, but really to enjoy it. And all the drinks you mentioned too.
Their meals are definitely a cornerstone of their culture. You know, it's where their community begins and ends every day. And I think it's such a beautiful thing. But also, just the focaccia bread. I could eat my weight in focaccia bread, though.
That sounds so good. I mean, I could eat my weight in that, in pizza, in pasta, and then in pastries. When I was
in crepes.
When I was in Italy, it was all about the pistachio. I was doing pistachio cannolis. That's what I had. We were filming one day. It was like 9:30 in the morning, and I ran and I got a pistachio cannoli at 9:30 in the morning, and I ate it. Did I regret it? No, I didn't. I didn't regret it at all because it was just so good.
So I had the chance of going to Sicily just this past April, and I'm going to be honest with all of you because you're my friends. I came back 4 pounds heavier. And we did so much walking every day, but I just did double the eating.
I think every location, double eating. Really, that's what it is. And in Spain, we had paella, which was fantastic. And I was able to watch it be made. And we can link a video as well, because we had our Javier was with us and he did this great video on paella making. And it was just fantastic to see how it was made and, you know, the love and care that they put into it and just how good it really is and how big those pots are that they make the paella in.
So let's go ahead and throw out one suggestion that people have to try in each one of these countries. So let's start with Spain.
I think it's definitely the paella. I mean, you go to Spain, you think of Spain, you have to have the paella.
I couldn't agree more. I'm going to add tapas because I love tapas. Tapas are your holdover meal. So they're your snacks between breakfast and lunch and your snacks between lunch and dinner. And that is the kind of culture I can agree with.
Me too. And I can also agree with siestas, by the way. I just want to put that out there. I wish we had those more here in the States.
Let's write a letter.
We should.
Next is France.
France to me is all about the pastries. I just love their pastries. And I'm not just talking about like the croissants, but everything they make. When you go into those little pastry stores, I just want to eat them all and try them all. everything.
Yeah, I took French in high school, and the only thing I remember is je voudrais un pain au chocolat. That's ordering a chocolate pastry, right? Those chocolate croissants. And that's because that was just the most important thing to keep in my repertoire.
Oh, it's so good. And when I was in France, because I was in France with Colette, but I also went to Paris with my husband, then my boyfriend. We actually got engaged in Paris. But
oh, I didn't know that.
Right outside, we did at the Palace of Versailles. I proposed to him after the fireworks. But when we were there, it was bread every day. I just had a baguette. I would just go to the store, get the baguette, and walk around. That's probably like, you know, typical American tourists just going to get the baguette and walking around. But their breads are phenomenal.
Okay, France, carbs. Okay, next, Italy, also carbs?
Italy, also carbs. I think with Italy, it's really going to be dependent on what part of Italy you're in, really. Mm. It's true. No matter where you are, the food is fantastic. But each portion of Italy, from the south to the north, is going to be different. Their pasta, their sauces, their pizza. I mean, you can't go wrong with anything. Yeah.
In Sicily, it was all about the pistachios, like you said, and the eggplant. I had eggplant and pistachio every single day, multiple times a day, with zero complaints.
zero complaints. And I think right. In Tuscany, it's all about the Chianti wine. I mean, the Chianti, it's Chianti region. It's the Chianti world. And having the Chianti with a nice bowl of pasta, or like I said, a nice margherita pizza to die for.
Oh, take me there.
Okay, I'm gonna head out now and go get lunch. If you want to finish the podcast, that'll be great.
Bye. bye to our producers. They can wrap this up. Josh and I are gonna grab some pasta and a Chianti.
Exactly. All right. So beyond food, I think one of the biggest draws to this area is, of course, and she touched upon it, the culture. You know, you think about the scenes from different movies and books that take place here. I mean, there's so much because the culture is fantastic. The romance, the luxury, and you're not going to not one, not two, not three, but four really distinct Rivieras on this tour. I think that's so exciting. And do they all feel like one unified Mediterranean culture is really kind of the question that I have.
And it's a great question because I asked it myself. And Elizabeth had a really interesting thoughts on the culture as she experienced it. Let's hear what she has to say.
Now, when we think about the Mediterranean, we think about the food, we think about the landscapes, we think about the nice warm weather. Was there anything that surprised you to realize that this was part of their Mediterranean lifestyle?
That's a good question. I think, you know, I've been to a lot of the places before, but I think what did surprise me is that I felt a change in the people and the culture from country to country. And it's not just the language, but the people seem different and not bad or good. They were just very different. You know, in Spain, you're very kind of stoic and they're very proud and they're very, you know, it's a different feeling. And then you go to the France and especially at the French Riviera, it seemed like a little just laid back and, you know, we're on the beach and then you get to Italy and everything's very expressive and how they talk and how they get excited and they use their hands. And so you really did see a difference. And actually, when I was on the trip, I was thinking it's all just coastline in the same sea. And yet a border for a country changes the food, the language, the pace,
the sights, even it sounds like
the culture. But I will say Madrid versus Barcelona, and I've been to, you know, Paris and north compared to the French Riviera and to Rome compared to Cinque Terre and Portofino and those Mediterranean coastlines. And there is a very big, I noticed a culture difference from being interior in the country and being along the Mediterranean. It's much more relaxed. It's much more laid back. I think the people seem, I think they're getting sunny weather and they seem very happy and content.
It feels like coming home almost, right? That they're so welcoming. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Feel at one with them, even if you're not from there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that really is like so many different cultures and personalities and ways of life. And I think the way that the designers have weaved this tour together with the pacing, especially with like you said, it was such a long 16 days, but making it feel like it's telling a story almost throughout the entire thing. I think it's so magical. Josh, you've done a couple of these things, right?
Yeah. And to piggyback off of what you just said, it really is magical. And it's so different, as Elizabeth mentioned, when you are in Spain and you cross over this, you know, imaginary border, and the culture is so different, the food, the language, the way they speak, and you really notice it. And you notice just the differences within each of these places. I mean, when you're in Spain and you're in Barcelona, you are inspired by the La Sagrada Familia. You get to see Gaudi's final masterpiece. And then when you are in France, you're truffle hunting, you are enjoying the charming streets of Provence. And then in Italy, you're enjoying the colorful cliffside villages of Cinque Terre and a local train ride. It's so distinct in each place, and the culture is so different in each place. And that's what I love about this tour. And as you mentioned, what our designers do, because they think of that. They want to bring that to life by getting a chance to do some of this. And I love that.
You just mentioned the truffle hunting. I haven't done it, but I'm obsessed with this concept. Please expand on it.
I've been lucky enough now to do truffle hunting twice, just this past time in Italy. And then when I went on Mediterranean Coastal Journey portion of that tour, we actually had, because there's two ways to do the truffle huntings. There are the dogs and then there are the pigs. And we were lucky enough in France, we got to see Ricky the pig. His name was Ricky. He was this big, big pig, and it was so wonderful. And he just goes and he smells and he finds the truffles. And the same thing with the dog, they give them a little treat so they don't eat the truffles, but the pigs are, they don't really kind of eat them. They'll still give them a little treat, but they kind of just use their nose, push it around. They smell the truffle. They pull the truffle out. It's a fantastic experience. And then to try straight truffle that they just shave right there is great. We had truffle on a cracker with a little bit of balsamic, and it's unlike anything you've ever tasted before.
Well, truffle is like such an exquisite little treat, right? Because truffles are expensive.
I think truffles and caviar are like two of the most expensive, like little tiny things that you can get. And truffles, they range hundreds upon hundreds of dollars to get truffles, which is crazy when you see they're hard to find. I mean, that's why they've trained the pigs, they've trained the dogs to find them out in the fields, under the trees, they're buried in the ground. And it's a fun little experience.
And on this tour, you get to go on the hike with the dog on this tour, right?
Yep. Yeah, you get to go.
And if you want to meet Ricky, that's another one of our tours. It's a France tour, right? Which one is that?
Well, France is on Mediterranean. Ricky might be there. It just depends on the day. So the dog or the pig. When I was just in Italy, that one is just the dogs themselves. And they're just so fun to go, and they just see them do their work because they're so proudful to find the truffle. They get excited. You know, that's what they're trained to do.
I get excited too. Can we make sure we post the video of Ricky the pig? I love that video. It makes me cry every time.
It is. It's so beautiful. They did such a great job. So we'll definitely post that video. And just the fact that his name is Ricky, it's just so cute. And his handler is just this cute little old man and just walks around with the pig, and they find the truffles. And it's after you do that truffle hunt along with cheese tasting as well. So you get to go and you get to try all different types of goat cheese. And the way they make the goat cheese, you try them all. It's a full experience on Mediterranean Coastal Journey.
And back to food, because I'm still hungry. I know that there is a focaccia demonstration here, and I think Elizabeth talks about it in a couple of clips I'm going to show you here in a second. But you get an actual focaccia demonstration, so you can go home and try to make it yourself.
I would love that. I think you should make us some.
I will. I'll try my hand at it.
Okay, so we've gotten food. We've got culture. What else did you talk to Elizabeth about?
Well, it so happens that I know Elizabeth is a amazing photographer. So I wanted to see how the trip stacked up on that front. I mean, it's just chock full of photo ops, right? And of course, actual art all along the way. Some of the most famous artists like Gaudi. So I talked to her about that. And again, it didn't disappoint.
I can't wait to listen, because I know that she is so amazing with her photography. I could look at her photographs all day, every day. She always comes back from her adventures with amazing photographs. So let's play this clip, and then I can't wait to talk about it.
Now, I know that you're an amazing photographer. I love looking at your pictures. I love following you when you travel. Tell me about the scenery. I think this tour specifically is all along the coastline. So the Mediterranean climate, always being on the water, like how did that really enhance, or how did that inspire your photography on this trip?
Well, you know, anytime you are looking at the water throughout the tour, you're looking at a part of the Mediterranean. So you're looking at sunrises, you're looking at sunsets, and there's nothing like it. So I loved getting up in the morning and being there for sunrise every time, or sunset. And, you know, at one part of the trip, you're seeing this sunrises are the pretty part. And once you get around to Italy, it's the sunset. So it depends on which part of the Mediterranean you're on, or you see both in France. The thing that I think stood out a lot to me with the climate is, and the photographs, is it was different in every part as well, because it's beautiful scenery. But the tour starts in Barcelona, and there's nothing like the architecture in Barcelona with the influences of Gaudi. And I mean, it's so colorful and so unique. So many places you go, that's a highlight of it, is to see this architecture. And I even started wondering if the word, if something's gaudy, if it came from him, because everything is, it's so over.
It's extra. Yeah.
It's extra. It's exaggerated. But so interesting. And the Batlló House and the Palace de Musica and Parc Güell. I mean, everything has that influence around it. So that's what I think is so amazing about Barcelona. But then you go up north to the Costa Brava area, and so many people haven't been to that area. And the scenery and the little towns where you stop, and we go to the Dalí Museum, very unique and different again. And this is, I think, more than any other tour, the architecture, the scenery, the water, the sunsets, it has everything that you would want as far as photography.
She is so correct. The sunrise that I had when I was staying in Costa Brava was one of the best sunrises ever. And just even the sunsets. I'm going to share a picture with you, because you're going to see that the location that we are in, the hotel that we're in, is right on the beach. You can walk out of your hotel and you walk right onto the beach, and the waves, it's phenomenal. And she's so right. Everywhere you go is so different in the culture and the architecture, but those sunrises and sunsets, same thing when I was in Tuscany, which is at the end of this tour as well, the sunsets are phenomenal. The golden hour, the different hues of the sky, it's something you'll always remember.
I saw one of those little questions on Facebook the other day that said, what feels expensive but is actually free? And for me, it's sunrises and sunsets, because it's one of those things that just, like, it makes you stop. It makes you take a deep breath. It makes you just realize how beautiful the world is, even if you've had a hectic day. So catch a sunset all around the world.
All around this tour.
All around this tour. That's what it should be. All around the world. Oh, Nicole, we're singing for you. Let's talk about the museums and the art galleries, because this tour has so many of them, and it really kicks off in Barcelona, because you're, as Elizabeth mentioned, you get to see Parc Güell and La Sagrada Familia, which is really a church in the long run, but it's a work of art. Have you been to that, Josh?
Sadly, we only had a small amount of time to do some filming. I was only able to see it from the outside. I didn't get a chance to go in. My in-laws have been in, and they say that it's absolutely phenomenal. So I need to get back to do that. But just the outside, just to look at it, as she mentioned, it's phenomenal. I mean, you can't even explain, like, his vision and what they were able to do and all the intricacies and what each piece means. Each section of that church, it means something. And it's presented through his art, through his architecture. And I need to go back because I want to go inside now.
Yeah, it's stunning. I've had a chance to go in it. And what's so great about it is he intertwines religion and nature. And he did it in a way so that he wanted everybody to feel welcome there. So even if they weren't religious, they would still feel pleased going into this church. And all of the pillars inside, when you first walk in, look like these giant trees reaching up towards the sky. And then the way that the stained glass lets in the light looks like it's the light filtering through the leaves of trees. It's amazing. Every corner of this building has this intricate, delicate designs that speak to nature, and then he ties it back to his religion.
And a fun little fact right now, they say that it is actually scheduled to be completed in 2026 on the 100th anniversary of the architect's death. So just think, it's been going and being built for so long, and that we are so close now. We're about 2 years out from it actually being finished.
You want to put money on if it's going to be finished or not?
I mean, they were really chugging along when I was there, so we'll see.
It's like the interstate highways of Rhode Island. Yep. I've lived here for a decade, and I've yet to see a project be finished.
They just continue on to a new project, and they just leave the other one behind.
But speaking of Gaudi, you also get to go into Parc Güell. So it's not on the tour, but it's something that many people do during free time. It's a little walk up of a hill, and You go into the park and it's an absolute wonderland of mosaics and tile. You feel like you're on a different plane of existence.
There's all kinds of museums and all things to do. I think when you are in the Costa Brava area, you actually got to go to the Dali Theater Museum and really understand that artist and the artist's legendary work inside. So there's so much to see. It's mind-boggling, the art of Salvador Dali. And then you'll continue on through some medieval villages. And there's something for everybody on this tour.
Yeah, for our history buffs out there, there's one experience that where you get to go into an ancient abbey, learn about the history there, and then end it with some wine.
Yes, and I was there. The abbey is so beautiful. It's an absolutely gorgeous abbey. Getting a chance to walk around, we have some videos on the abbey itself, and they do produce wine now. So it's fantastic. Highly, highly, highly recommend enjoying that. And the food there at the Abbey was so fresh and so wonderful.
Now, I want to talk about the impact moment here. So for those of you who are new here, all of our exploration tours have something that we call impact moments because social responsibility is very important to us. So impact moments immerse our travelers with the communities and their environments around them, where one of the experiences on tour is when we visit a social enterprise or a nonprofit, a place that is doing great in their community, doing good for their community. And we bring our tours there so that people can feel like they're giving back to the destination that they're traveling to. Josh, did you have a chance to experience the impact moment when you went on
yes,
tour?
Yes, we did. We actually got to go to film, and we have a great clip on that as well that really talks about what they do and the food and enjoying the food and people that are homeless. They can come in and they can enjoy a meal sitting together with everybody, and it's a full-on wonderful experience. So, I mean, this tour really has it all. I think one thing people may wonder is about the pacing and timing. We had brought that up a little earlier. You know, 16 days. 16 days seems like a lot. And it's a lot to pack in 16 days. As you see all the different countries, all the museums we talked about, impact moments on this tour. How did Elizabeth think it felt as she went? Do you think she really felt the pacing was good?
I think she thought it was spot on. I did ask her about that. Let's hear what she has to say about it.
So it has that man-made architecture, cityscape, and then you move into the natural beauties of the landscape where you're getting the ocean and the cliffs and the beach and the animals, like birds. How did that make you feel moving from like the city into more of the natural landscape?
I love outdoors. I love the natural. And sometimes when I'm in a big city, I'm kind of ready to get out because I like the smaller, quainter, less people. Barcelona is one of my favorite cities, though, a bit bigger cities in a country. It was one of my favorite, and it was my first time there. But I love, like, when you go up to Costa Brava, we stay in a hotel right on the water, and it's not really in a town. So it was the perfect timing because you'd been in the city for 3 days. You'd been busy around people. Then you stopped at Girona on the way. Girona, love Girona. Fantastic. And then it was so nice just to go to that hotel. We got there in the afternoon and we all sat out by the pool. You're looking over the water. You're seeing the sceneries. There's palm trees everywhere. It was just paradise. And so I love the pacing of that. It's like, okay, now I'm just going to sit and relax and look out here at the Mediterranean and enjoy it and soak it in and not be so busy in a city that I don't really take time to look at the water.
Soak it in. I'm glad you had such a great time. I followed you the whole time. I was like, when is she coming home? The story's long.
17 days. I know. Well, I get off of one trip though, and then I get so excited about the next one because I just love traveling so much.
So you think she answered the question?
I love the fact that she said she just soaked it in. I mean, you soak it all in. And I think our designers did an amazing job really designing the fact that you can be busy in the city, you can see everything, but then we build in that relaxation. You go to some of these smaller, you know, towns, smaller cities, and you can relax. You can have an afternoon by the pool. You can dip your feet in the Mediterranean. And I think pacing is so important. And on this tour, I think we nail it.
Yeah, our designers are definitely artists themselves. And the way that, like, the juxtaposition of the busy, busy city of Barcelona and then easing out to the countryside where you get to listen to the waves crash and sit by the pool and sip on cocktails sound like the perfect way to start your journey of relaxation.
I love it. I do. I want to go. I did pieces of this tour, and I definitely want to do the full tour from beginning to end, from Barcelona to Tuscany and everywhere in between. It's definitely a tour for me and a tour for our listeners. If you want to go and you want to experience multiple countries, culture, different types of food, languages, this is a tour for you.
Well, there you have it. That is the Mediterranean Coastal Journey. I want to thank Elizabeth so much for taking the time to chat with me. I cannot wait to see where she heads next because she's always on the go. Thanks for listening, everyone. Remember to check out our Mediterranean Coastal Journey tour. The link is in the notes. And you can always visit us at www.colette.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at GoColette to find amazing info and deals on our tours.
And remember to like and subscribe to Travel Unpacked wherever you listen. And if you haven't done it already, drop us a review. We love to hear from you, and it helps other people find our podcast. And as always, we talked about food, tons of food. So because we talked about food and pastries and croissants, I'm going to tell everybody, don't forget to pack your Tupperware so you can bring some home with you.
And your stretchy pants.
Always the stretchy pants.